Hey, freaks, if you're listening to this the day that it comes out, the Friday, guess what? On Saturday, tomorrow, the 23rd of March, I'm in Canberra doing the Canberra Comedy Festival. I'm doing my show there, my new show, Mixtape. Come along if you're in Canberra, or if you know anyone who's there, tell them about it. I don't have many buddies there. I'd love to have some people along. It's at 8:15 on the 23rd of March in Canberra. And then, if you're in Melbourne, from March 28 through to April 21 or something, I'm doing the entire month of the Melbourne Comedy Festival. My show's at 7:30. I'd love you to come along to that. The entire run is almost half sold out already, which is insane. So, I mean, if you want to come and you haven't booked yet, it would be cool if you could do that soon, because I kind of think it's going to be hard to get tickets in the second half of the festival. So it'd be cool for you to jump on before that happens. Also, here's some cool fucking news, dudes. I got to do the Melbourne Comedy Festival gala the other day. For anyone who's across the comedy thing, this is like it's a very sought-after gig that a bunch of us want to do. It's kind of filmed at the Palais Theatre in Melbourne. It's 2,500 people. It goes on TV. A lot of people want to do it. I've wanted to do it my entire comedy career. Becky's done it in the past. And this year they asked me to do it. I was very stoked, so happy to do it. I got to play the show. I did one of my songs, one of the ones that Dixie and I worked on. And it's going to be on TV on Wednesday. What's the fucking day? Wednesday the 27th. Next Wednesday on the ABC at 9 p.m. So watch the broadcast. Or you can do what most normal people do and wait for the YouTube clip of my set to come out and watch that and maybe even fucking post it or share it or some shit. The song I do is a song called Medium Dick. And on the exact same day that the gala thing is out, it's also going to be available on Spotify. So that'll be sick for you guys. Speaking of music, today's episode is a one-on-one chat with one of my good mates, Spod, who is a very funny dude, a very amazing musician. You should check out his stuff on Spotify, YouTube, and Instagram. And this is a bit of a Marc Maron-style episode. We get a little deep on some beef that he and I had very recently, and we try to squash the beef. Let's fucking squash that beef, dudes. Let's do it. Well, I'm already recording, so we can either officially begin or we can continue from this chat and just see what happens.
Whatever your format is for your professional output, I'm happy with.
We don't really have a format. We just normally start the show and it's already going.
Oh, classic podcasting.
love it. That's podcasting, this man. Gone are the days of saying welcome to the show and introducing people and shit. It's just on. It's happening. It's raw.
This is on. Life is a podcast.
Life is a podcast. Hey, that's not a bad podcast title. Life is a podcast. Hey,
I'm an ideas machine. gone are the days of like, does Maron still do his rant?
Yeah. Oh, he'll do like a 20-minute rant. What the heck?
Yeah.
I think
that's... What the heck?
What the heck is going on? That's what he says. What the heck is?
What the heck is? This is a crazy... There's all this stuff going on. I'm going to talk about it for a bit. My cat's dead.
My cat died about 10 years ago, I think.
I think every podcast app needs a skip 15-minute button just for the podcast.
Yeah, I know. I'm sick of frantically bashing that 15-second one just to get to hear him interview fucking John Lovitz or whoever it is.
So who are your dudes?
Yeah. Well, who are your dudes? Let's get into that. Who are your dudes?
Oh, yeah. I guess musically, my dudes, it's a Ween.
Mm.
They're kind of like, they're the band that sort of said, hey, you can do music and sort of be funny, but take it seriously.
Yeah, interesting.
Because like before I heard them, I wanted to kind of maybe figure out how to do rap. Like, because I was a massive rap nerd.
Yeah.
So, like, I was like, like sort of when Public Enemy and NWA and all those kind of bands hit,
yeah,
I was just fucking, I was wide open for that shit. White suburban boy, fucking northwest of Sydney, living his fucking, just took over the garage and made it into my little boy room.
Shit, so that's awesome.
I was pumping rap, and dad was a bit racist, so he didn't really love it. It is all right. I was like, oh, fuck. You know, I think the days are over where they're just labeled just like a joke band.
Mm.
But I think the reason I keyed in is because, for one, it was just the weirdest yet straightest kind of band I'd heard at that point. Because it was like early 90s, so it was when Push a Little Daisies blew up. It became quite a bit of a hit, like 92 or 3 or whatever it was.
Mm.
And I was so deep in the rap hole at this time. And I was just kind of getting into Bob Dylan and getting into, like, I was into Led Zeppelin and all the kind of 70s rock shit.
Because I had
fucking some balls on me, you know?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Bad boy.
Fuck yeah,
you know,
dude.
What I'm saying? Fucking, you know what I'm saying?
Fuck yeah, man.
I was very angsty, but in like a chill way.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jimi Hendrix, all that kind of stuff. So when I heard Ween and was like taking all these things from old music I loved and then just making the weirdest fucking songs out of it that were really funny, but you knew that they weren't joking. They were just like, I don't want to write something too serious, but I want to write a really good song. Yeah, take being a dickhead seriously.
But like even the Beatles have fucking funny songs.
The Beatles are fucking pissing around 80% of the time.
Yeah,
and even in the most beautiful stuff, it's just, some of it's just fucked in the head, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Like why, yeah, sort of, I've never understood why people, I guess they don't have the confidence to give themselves the length to be ridiculous and then be serious because they're worried about how it will come across. And it can be confusing. Like, Ween have battled it their whole career. Yeah, like, because there are a lot more dudes out now that are quite conceptual and it's funny, but then they're being funny serious. So, like, there's like Alex Cameron and Donny Benet and those kind of dudes from Australia, Kieran. Mm.
Yeah.
Who sort of more delve into the character of someone, but like there's humor in there, but they're not really being funny.
Mm.
I see it as like a different side of kind of the same coin with that stuff, where it's like they're going maybe further away from jokes, but they rely on humor to sell it.
Yeah, the image.
I find all that really interesting.
The imagery is funnier than the content in a way.
Yeah,
Kieran's a great example where he's like naked on his album cover, like he's got fake tan on and his dick's out and stuff, and you're kind of like, oh, this is funny. It's like a parody of, I guess, like 70s Playgirl magazine, like, you know, like the sexy man, like the pinup boy. But then the music is not really that funny. Like, it's just like pretty quite earnest. But I mean, your songs are funny and you are a funny dude and you have like a legacy of funny videos. You're mates with people in comedy, in the like US comedy scene as well. Was there ever a moment where you considered being a comedian?
A lot of those, like, not, I didn't really have any, it was kind of until, I guess, late 2000s that I even sort of had any noticed kind of the comedy world. I think it was like Tim and Eric kind of times, right?
Mm.
Where they were coming from an outsider's view into the comedy world.
Mm.
And so I was like, oh, that's like, that's a way in that makes sense to me. Like, straight comedy I enjoyed, but as something that you could do. I think it was the same, you know, same thing with music. Like, you look at it as this impenetrable world that you can't be a part of.
Mm.
And then Ween come along and say, oh, you can buy a 4-track. Tim and Eric were like that, saying, oh, you can go, you can do something that is, you know, completely obtuse and it's making fun of what you want to be, what you're actually making. That to me is like what I kind of needed to sort of go, oh, maybe I could push into that a little bit.
Mm.
So I remember when I did my first record. I had some friends in Melbourne who were booking me shows and stuff, getting me into state. And he wanted to book me into the comedy festival, like 2003 or something.
Hmm.
I was like, I don't even know what that means. You know, like, I have no idea. Like, what am I going to do? Like, I had my act and stuff. But I was like, I know it's funny, but I don't know how it's funny, if that makes sense. Like, I can't go up and go, oh, these are the bits that work. And I still can't do that. I just get up there and go, all right, I'll see what happens. And just, you know, sometimes it sort of works. But yeah, I don't think I could make an act that I could do night after night that I could bank on. Like, it has to be, I think the conceit of it is, you know, you're coming to see a guy play music. There's no hint that there's anything funny about it. And then I just could be potentially completely fucked in the head for 45 minutes. And sometimes I just get up there and I just fucking do a really straight set. I like the idea. I was like, I can just be a fucking menace. I can play one song and harass some dude. You know, like.
I was playing music in Newcastle in the 2000s, and I was also studying editing at uni. And so I remember when I first saw one of the Tim and Eric clips on YouTube, it was the one with Zach Galifianakis. It's like a real ad for Absolute Vodka.
Yeah, yeah.
And that whole clip, it's like a famous clip. You'd know it. Everyone who's a big comedy nerd would know it. They got paid, I believe, by Absolute to make a commercial, and part of their, I think Zach got paid, right? They wanted Zach.
Yeah.
And part of his deal was, I'll make it, but Tim and Eric have to direct it and we get final cut on the commercial. Yeah. And it's like a 7 minute long commercial. That's like a melodrama essentially, with like the three of them in it sort of playing these impenetrable characters. Like there's no entryway for it. You can't look at it and go, oh, it's a parody of X. It's not a parody of anything. It's just its own world. And there's crazy dialogue, crazy editing, a lot of the like staples of what would become classic Tim and Eric style, like the fast cuts, the quick close-ups, weird sound
sitting
design.
On one thing too long.
Yeah, sitting on things for too long. Things that seem to be going forever, like he's pouring the glass of vodka for like 40 seconds and it's impossible that could even happen. And yeah, so I was studying editing at the time and in music, and that one clip blew my fucking mind. I just couldn't believe the kind of shit that we fucked around with in the edit suite to make each other laugh, like pausing on weird frames and toggling between frames to make people's eyes or mouth move in a weird way, was a style of comedy. I just couldn't fucking believe it.
Mm. But like, imagine they had to sort of explain that vodka commercial. God, okay, so this is what we're going to do. And it's like, no, you're not doing that. So like having the foresight to go, oh no, we're going to do this and it's going to be funny. Just knowing that they could pull it off. And if they didn't, then whatever, like they wouldn't have got paid.
Yeah, true.
But fucking, and because I don't think they ended up using it. So Tim and Eric just put it on their own sort of channel, like in early days.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I think
they made some more. There's like two more, I think.
Yeah, well, I think after how big of a hit it was, Absolute came back and went, oh, hey, could you give us more of that stuff? Well, there's no way they're going to get that and go, oh, this is perfect, thanks.
It's so funny to watch.
They would now.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like their style just became so omnipresent. Remember there was the, what's that fucking Old Spice? The Old Spice ad that was kind of like biting their style. And then Eric ended up doing one for them that was even more insane as well.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Everyone kind of ripped it.
Well, it was like it became a reference point. Mm. Like, oh, could you make it Tim and Eric-y, you know?
Yeah.
In that period of maybe like 2010 and 11, when everything was kind of tagging Tim and Eric, it's like just the worst shit. Like,
yeah, big time.
You just can't replicate that. Like, you can't sort of go, I'm going to, you can, you know, I fucking ripped off style with like my first music video just because I, saw like the kind of cut and paste After Effects-y stuff they were doing. I was like, fuck, like that looks so cool. And I think I could do that.
I was just going to ask you how you became buddies with DJ Doug Pound.
Oh, that's thanks to Tommy Dasilo, funnily enough. Because I was playing a show in Melbourne at the Old Bar. And he came with a few other comedians and brought, have you heard of Brendan Walsh?
Yeah.
He's in my boys' nightclub as well.
Yeah.
But Dasilo brought him along. He said, you should come see this pod guy. Anyway, at that time I was listening to The Bone Zone, which was his old podcast.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with it. Fucking loved it. So he walks in with Brendan, but I didn't clock that it was Brendan at all. He just had this fucking bright orange, I was going to say wig. I wish it was a bright orange wig. But a bright orange beanie. And I just said, all right, like mid-set, and I just clocked him. I said, you're fucking dead. You fucking huge orange beanie weirdo. So in between every song, I'll just start ripping into him. I can't remember what I said, but just wouldn't fucking leave him alone. And he was laughing. I was like, all right, this is good. And then we just sort of became mates from there, which is pretty, luckily he didn't fucking punch me in the face. Could have gone the other way. Did I go on the Bone Zone? I think I might have. Yeah, I did go on the Bone Zone.
Hmm.
So that was a big honor for me. I was very excited. When I was in LA, I went down and said, this is going to be cool. And I took over some beers and stuff. And I think it was kind of when it was winding up. And him and Randy were just like, oh, hey, yep, all right, you ready? Turned it on. I was just like, oh, fuck. Like, there could not be less of a vibe in here. It was kind of terrifying, but it worked out. It was really good. We did prank calls and I was terrified. It was cool. But yeah, so from that, I was asking him if there are any shows in LA I could do, and he was like, oh yeah, I've got a friend who runs like a night, and that was the Two Wet Crew, which is like Doug, Jay Weingarten and Mikey someone. And I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah, I love Doug Pound. I'd love to meet him. And so he lined up the show, and then I did the show, and then sort of got chatting, and they all got up on stage for Boys Night. And I videoed that and stuff. And then after that, me and Doug just sort of became friends off the back of that.
Now, you brought up Boys Night. I feel like we should dive into it. I feel like we should.
You should.
We should marin this up. We should go, what the heck? We should go full what the heck.
We should go full what the heck. Like, fucking all take our shirts off.
Yeah, man. So let's talk about it. I put a song out called Boys Night last month. You put a song out called Boys Night way before last month. And then we had a fun but heated interaction on Instagram.
We did. I was surprised how heated I was when I saw it. I think it was because people were messaging me about it.
Mm.
So anyway, and just going, thinking I was part of it. And I was like, it took me a bit to clock it. I was like, no, but I know that dude though.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh right, oh you had nothing to do with this. That's pretty weird. And I was like, it is pretty weird. Hang on. And then I had to watch the thing and sort of clock it because I was like, maybe I'm misunderstanding it. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I got quite angry, Cameron.
Yeah, I know. I know. I
got quite upset.
Yeah.
It's my son.
Someone, yeah.
Someone's taken my son. Maybe they're going to be a better dad than me. And I had to defend my honor. I had to get on the fucking net.
Man, I'm so glad you did, but I was also so stressed because, as I said to you, I just hadn't even clocked it. And then the moment you said, hey, I've got a song called Boys Night, remember? I was like, oh, fuck, fuck. Because that's like everyone's worst nightmare is that you've like either ripped someone off or whatever, whether it's intentional or unintentional.
Yeah, of course. Especially when you're putting out like a new thing and it's like, it takes fucking ages to put together and a video and
yeah,
it's all
totally
coming towards this launch. And I fucking swan in.
And I'm always quite hyper aware of like what other people are doing and whatnot. So I felt so fucking angry at myself for missing that with your song. And also, I was bummed, man. I just didn't want to, I felt bad for like seeming disrespectful to you because I'm such a fucking fan and I like you as a human being as well as an artist. And I just didn't want to piss you off. I felt so fucking bummed that I'd upset you and, you know, or pissed you off. I'm sorry. Well, yeah,
no, it's no drama at all now. But it's like, as soon as like I cooled down a bit and I was like, you know, fucking, there's no way, there's no way you would have done it intentionally. And I thought, at the worst, you've kind of like, somewhere along the line, someone's gone, oh, Spod has that Boys Night song. And you're just like, oh, it's too far gone. Like, whatever, it's a different thing. And I was like, at worst. And who gives a shit, really, right? So, and I was like, oh, it's just, you know, it's a good excuse to talk to you and a good excuse to get out there and promote my last song I put out fucking 8 years ago. But, it was like, it initially took the wind out just because, you know, it's like, it's funny, right? Like, because in comedy, there's a real thing about joke theft and who came up with what. Mm. In music, there really isn't. Like, it doesn't really exist. You can take something from someone else's song and put it into yours, and it's like an unspoken thing and no one really talks about it. But in comedy, it's a really defined thing. So I think maybe that's also why I think I reacted a bit. I was kind of like, oh, well, in comedy, this wouldn't fly. If I was a comedian and I had a joke called Boys Night, and then someone else came out with the same kind of premise and delivered it differently, like, Marin would be fucking pissed off about that, you know? And I was like, fucking... And it's funny because, yeah, you're a comedian doing music and I'm like a musician doing, not comedy, but doing funny. Being funny, yeah. So we're both hitting the same point in the middle, and that's what those songs are.
Mm.
And then I was like, oh, well, it's a different take on the same idea. Like, it's not like the fucking Mona Lisa of ideas, but it's like, it's the whole perspective of it is we're similar kind of dudes. We have similar kind of temperaments, I think. We probably grew up kind of, you know, a bit dorky and watching fucking dudes go out and be dead shits and all that kind of stuff, which for me, that's where the song came from. It was like growing up in the suburbs, getting a bus to the city, going out, not being able to get in somewhere because you don't have the right shoes, some fucking big dead shit vomits on your back, you know, and you're like, oh, fuck. And then they go off and they go home with a girl you've been eyeing off, you know?
Yeah.
And you just go, oh, fucking dead shits own the world. How can I fucking get a little bit? I'm going to make music no one likes. You know? The struggle of just being like a teenager or going into your 20s and trying to transition into like that life where you say, oh, okay, well, I've now got to go out and meet people, I guess, and I've got to figure out what's out there. Like before I was playing sort of gigs and stuff, just going out into the world and just being a normal guy, trying to find other people that aren't fucked in the head.
Yeah.
But, you know, people like doing music is what clarified all that for me. It just gave me my friendship circle, which is still there today, you know.
But yeah, I think it was finding the comedy scene that helped me find the first group of friends that I really connected with and that I felt like these are my people and have a similar sense ability to me. But even then, it took a few years into doing it before I started really even letting my own walls down. You know what I mean? Like I was almost doing a persona for the first like 4 years of doing comedy. I was like, because I didn't know anyone and I was a bit nervous and I didn't want to be uncool. So I was like very walls up, only ironic, never showing any real side of myself at all. It was fucking weird.
You want to walk into a scene fully formed, right? Like you want to come in and say, oh, this is me. I know what I'm doing. No one fucking does. So you go in with a preconceived notion of what that is, and then you shuffle it out and sort of go, oh, that's not me. This is me. And that's funny. And you do that forever, but it takes a while. And then when you do that, that's when you find your people in the scene and, you know, you sort of start carving your own style and finding like-minded sort of bands or comedians that you can sort of do shows with. Because like in the music scene, it's like, you got to find your little clique. And back in the 90s, it was really clicky. And it seemed so impenetrable because even the small venues had their little crews and, you know, that'd all be certain people hanging around the bar and everyone would be waving to each other and It just seemed like you're not allowed to be part of that. But all it is just people with friends just saying hi and having beers and stuff. But when you're going into that, and I need to get through this. It's like a RPG. You're going, I have to sort of get into here and figure out how to get through all these people so I can find if they're cool. And then, you know, you're just making your way up through the levels till you find, find the people that you can hang out with.
100%.
And then you get to know them all. And it's like, oh yeah, you're all just the same as me. And you're trying to look cool because you're scared of fucking no one liking your band or something, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone, most like 90% of people were just really lovely, and you know, it was really, really cool. But I imagine it's the same with comedy. Like, I actually think, for someone who doesn't know too much about how the scene works and stuff, I think comedy would be way scarier because it's less of a, like, you can't start a band and just be like, oh, hey, well, if everyone hates us, we can turn to each other and put our heads down. I kind of feel like comedy's a bit more vicious.
Well, yeah, I guess it's just a bunch of solo performers. Like, it's a bunch of lead singers that are all hanging out backstage.
Yeah, right.
Trying to, I guess, at least in the early days, that's what it felt like for me. It felt like I was in with a bunch of alphas. And so you put on your own version, like, of the costume of what an alpha male is or whatever. But then you slowly start to realize that everyone is actually quite, like, fucking nerdy, I suppose, in a way. Because, like, why? I mean, I don't even know why for a second you would think that comedians are cool, but you do when you're first starting out. And then a year or two, 3 years into it, you're kind of like, hang on a second, these guys are all fucking losers. Like, why else? Why would you be here trying to be a comedian on a Tuesday night to six people? It's not cool. We're all just sort of drama kids or a little bit artistic who found this little community, and maybe everyone's trying to be cool, and that's why it's intimidating. But underneath it all, everyone's just like a bit sensitive and wants to be liked, and literally.
Well, that's the bottom line of it, isn't it? Like, everyone's there to have people look at them and like them.
And like them. Yeah, like, just fucking like them.
Yeah, like, fucking, can someone just like me?
Someone like me up fucking, here?
I'm right here.
Please like me, man. Another similarity, you know, if we're comparing ourselves and maybe where both of our songs came from, I definitely felt like, coming from playing in bands and then being a comedian, I was definitely putting on this persona of, like, I'm a cool fucking dude. I'm fucking cool.
Yeah.
I wear a leather jacket. I wear Doc Martens. My shirt's a little bit unbuttoned. I'm wearing skinny jeans. I'm a fucking cool guy, okay? And I was, like, very, very much did not want to be seen as a loser or a dork or sensitive. But being surrounded by other comedians like Becky Lucas, for example, Becky has, like, the Terminator fucking robot eye that can just zone in on your insecurities and point out where your flaws are. And having someone like Becky very early on make fun of me and take me down a peg or two and, you know, like, focus in on the things that I was insecure about, made me relax, made my walls drop, but then also made me realize that maybe a funny thing about me, and I think you have this as well, is that we want to make fun of the people that think they're cool because we also wish we were cool in a way.
Yeah.
And so we can, like,
we've
see
felt that.
Yeah. We've felt it. We can see it. We've tried it. and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So I think, like, from early on, a very big part of my brand of comedy or whatever was making fun of cool guys, alpha guys, you know, dead shits, as you put it, that kind of thing. And whenever I play a character in something, it's usually a fucking, like, guy that thinks he's awesome. Usually,
yeah,
that's usually the role I get typecast in, because it's clearly funny, and I don't mean it to be, but it must be funny whenever I try to be cool, because it's
clear
that I'm not cool, I suppose.
Yeah, you're outside of it trying to get in.
Yeah,
funny, you know.
And I think that but you have like a lot of that too, where you're like, you obviously think it's funny when dudes try to be something that they're not, whether it's like badass or sexy or cool. It's like it's just funny watching people try.
Yeah. I love male failure.
Oh yeah,
like because you know there's the inherent thing of like. Oh, fucking dudes telling you how to be an alpha. There's dudes telling you how to fucking win, how to be the best. Like, I've never really had the desire to be good at anything. Like, I just want to do my version of what I think's good. Like, I've always sort of almost had an aversion of becoming good at something, which is in itself something I should probably go to therapy about. but yeah, it's like, oh, okay, well, if I'm getting good at something, like, it's, I don't know, growing up in the 90s, fucking poison as well. Like, don't sort of master anything. But I do, but it's also because I'm afraid of being, oh, this is what I've dedicated my life to and I'm shit at it, right? So then you can rip it to shreds. But I find that really funny as well. And I find it really interesting of the strength it kind of takes to even want to do that, like be the best at something. Like, and something that's like a defined idea, right? Oh, I'm going to be the best at football or something. It's just utterly fucked in the head to think you're going to be the best at that. But dudes do think it and do become it. And it's so incredible, right?
So many dudes think it.
So many dudes don't, like, make it.
Yeah.
And it's the same with anything, like music, fucking everything. And so I find that really funny and interesting and heartbreaking because I can relate to it.
Yeah.
You know, there's parts of it I can't relate to, so I find it interesting to kind of explore the ideas of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of what I do is about presenting myself as a guy who wants nothing more than to be, like, a famous, successful guy with it all together and just confused why it's that can't happen for me. And that's, like, that's how I think whenever I'm making something, like, oh, all right. Sort of what it just I want, you know, pure delusion. Like, where would I want to be
if
I was just driven to be whatever?
Yeah,
and then thinking of all the points along that path that are funny,
and
then just going, all right, I'll make something about that. I don't have that drive to want to build a bigger audience or anything. I'd love it, but I can't work at that, you know. Like, I have to sort of go, oh, I really want to do something now. Spend a bunch of time, do something, put it out, and then I'm like, all right, good. It quells that sort of that burn, you know, to try and achieve something ahead of you. It's like, I understand that's what you need to do, but fuck, like, give me a job at Westpac.
I'm 100%. I like just getting to do, like, move at my own pace. And like you said, for me, the joy of all of it is the time that I'm on stage. Like, that's what I'm there for. I love that hour where I get to do the show, or even if it's just a 10-minute spot somewhere up the road.
Yeah.
That's what I'm there for. And I'm happy to have my days to just hang out with my dog and have dinner with my wife and go to the fucking gym if I want to, or watch a movie if I want to. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to
Because like I've got, well, yeah, it's like when I was younger, I used to think it was a cop-out. But I just, you know, like you grow into yourself and you're like, oh, like, I want to treat myself right. I want to, you know, sort of spend my days being myself. It's like I have friends who are doing quite well at music, and just the relentless energy it takes to keep up with that. And then to, like, you know, you're always pushing and getting bigger crowds and stuff. And then, like, you know, I'm at the age, like, all my friends have kids. Like, I have a kid. I couldn't fathom going on the road for 6 months. And coming back and going, oh, hey, I'm your dad. And I was like, oh, man, that just sounds rough. Like, it sounds really, like, really unenjoyable. And then you have to trust that you're being true to yourself. And then you start enjoying it so much more.
Yeah.
The small windows of time that you get to do whatever ridiculous thing you want to do with your time, you know.
100%.
Like, make a song called Boys Night.
Like, make a song called Boys Night. Yeah.
I always find whenever you sort of are comfortable with yourself is when sort of the opportunities you want end up presenting themselves to you, you know? And committing to what you want to do as well. Like, everything just shuffles into place when you do that.
This has actually been a very nice chat, man. We've landed in a nice spot about just being yourself and being relaxed.
We've gotten way more deep and sincere than I was thinking we would, and I've quite enjoyed it.
Me too. I kind of thought we'd be
a rare moment.
Ironic almost the entire time, but we went straight into it. It was nice.
We fucking did it. We're a couple of grown men. I love it.
We don't have time for bullshit anymore. We got to get fucking serious. Thanks so much for chatting to me, and I'm glad we squashed the beef.
The beef is squashed, though I do still think we need to do boys fight.
I think so too.
That would be a fun project.
I think so too. So, should I come to you?
Let's do it. I'm building my new studio at the moment.
Oh my god!
So give me a couple of months.
Oh my god!
And then I'll have a fresh little studs.
That's so fun. I'd kill to have a studio. That would be so good.
I'm finally converting our garage into a studio.
Maybe you should finally do a rap album.
It's funny. I actually have the start of a rap album about this guy called Bobby Wobbles. And he is, of course, it's a fucking the dumbest premise in the world. But the whole idea of Bobby Wobbles is that he was a comedian on Hey Hey It's Saturday, but he got disgraced when he fucked Daryl's wife. and he disappeared and he moved to Tasmania. And oh so it's God. It's like it's his rap journal from 89.
Oh, shit. That's so good.
And it's like, all the tapes that I found in a what do you call it, in a tip shop.
Oh, it's like you've remastered
these tapes.
You've remastered the tapes.
So I've told you that, let you into the truth. So pretend to fall for the trick when I put it out.
Definitely. That's so funny. Fucking hell.
Yeah. But I'm not sure, like, because I'm dropping like real names in it and like, you know, Red and Wilbur and stuff.
Mm.
Wondering if I don't say their last name, I reckon I can get away with it.
I reckon
there's some bodgy stuff in there.
Oh really? Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. You gotta use their full names, who cares?
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, just say you found it. You didn't make them, you found them.
Yeah, we'll have to delete this once I go to court, but aside from that, how good would it be going to court with Daryl Summers?
It would be amazing. It'd be fucking amazing. Oh my god.
I could deal with being sued by that fucking freak.
I mean, that's just such good promo, really.
Yeah. I'll just rock up to court in blackface and he'll be like, oh, I can't fight this guy. I love it.
Come on the show. We're revitalizing it just for you, mate.
You can host it. It's kind of the talent we've been waiting for.
Before we get out of here, is there anything you'd like to plug or point people to? Obviously, Boys Night, we'll plug that.
Boys Night's still out there. It's
a great track, available on YouTube and Spotify.
Check out my Instagram, spodzone, spod_zone. I will be playing a few shows here and there, you know how it goes.
Yep.
I'm doing it because Dark Mofo isn't happening this year.
Oh.
But they're doing a small version of it where they, have you ever been down to Dark Mofo?
Never come for it, but it's a goal. I'd love it.
So cool. But so they normally have bands on everywhere in the whole city. It's like all gigs and stuff. But at night, they have a thing called Night Mass, which is just like one big building with heaps of different rooms and all this weird shit going on.
Hmm.
So they've given me a room to do whatever I want in.
Dude.
So I might just set up a bed and go to sleep.
Just get some peace and quiet.
Yeah. Just go, can you lock the door? And they'll be like, this is genius. better get another hit going. You know, gotta make it to the top, Cameron.
Bobby Wobbles will be the next thing.
You wait, mate. Give me fucking a sensation.
And then I'll put out my own Bobby Wobbles 8 years later.
Yeah, put it in your calendar for 2036.
Yeah, we can do this all again.
I love it. Well, I've really enjoyed chatting to you. It's been great.
You too, man. Thanks so much.
Pleasure.